You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Ben Vowsler and Dave Ansell. If you'd like to contact us through Twitter, it's at Naked Scientist, or you can send us an email to chris@thenakedscientist.com.
Thank you, Dave. This week we're talking about the weather, and coming up later we'll be exploring the idea of steering a hurricane out of harm's way. But first, most of us are familiar with the long trails left behind by aeroplanes as they pass overhead. I can almost see some through the window here. But those trails, or contrails as they're called, it seems can actually give rise to clouds. Now, we're joined by Dr. Jim Hayward, who's from the Met Office. Now, thank you for joining us, Jim. My first question, really, to get a broad idea, is how are clouds normally formed?
Well, clouds almost invariably form when the air that contains the water vapour cools. Cooling is almost always initiated by a lifting action. For example, air flowing over mountains can cause the air to cool to such an extent that the water in it condenses, forming a cloud. Alternatively, you can have things like cool air undercutting warm air and forcing it to rise in frontal systems associated with low-pressure systems in the middle latitudes. So really, it's just a case of air being forced to cool. The relative humidity, as meteorologists call it, exceeds 100%, and the water in it condenses.
And when we see these big lines up in the sky, these contrails from aeroplanes, what are they actually made of?
Obviously, most clouds that we can see from down here are made up of water droplets. Contrails tend to be made up of ice crystals that grow when the conditions are favourable.
And how do these then go on to create a cloud?
What you can get is, under certain conditions, which is basically cold and moist conditions, the ice crystals that are initially formed by the aircraft contrail can grow. It's a bit like physics experiments that you probably did at school, where you grew crystals of copper sulfate or things in supersaturated solutions. That's exactly what's happening here. When the conditions are right, when it's cold enough and moist enough in the upper atmosphere, then the crystals that are initially injected can just grow in tremendously and spread with the meteorological flow.
So we're not talking about lots of individual particles like we would be for, I assume, a normal cloud. This is actually a very large ice crystal that just happens to be light enough to float about. Is that right?
Well, the ice crystals, when they're initially injected, are about a thousandth of a millimetre, typically, in terms of size. But as they grow, they can actually get many times that, up to about 100 microns. So they do form very large crystals, which are important in sort of the Earth radiation budget.
These clouds obviously are a bit different to normal clouds. How do they affect the weather? Are they rain clouds? Are we likely to see rain from them, or just perhaps a bit of shading, or really will they not affect us much at all?
They do affect us in terms of the amount of sunlight that they let through. That's quite important. They tend to reflect sunlight back out to space and lead to a cooling of the weather and consequently the climate. But they also trap outgoing long-wave radiation, so heat radiation, if you like, rather like the greenhouse effect. So there's these two competing effects. You've got the reflection of solar radiation or sunlight back out to space, and you've also got a greenhouse type of effect. And what's critical is really the balance between the cooling from the reflection of solar radiation and the warming due to the greenhouse type of effect of these crystals.
So if they need very particular conditions in which to form, does this mean that certain flight paths are actually more likely to create these clouds, and therefore we're more likely to have this warming effect or this reduction of sunlight effect in certain areas?
Yes, that's right. I mean, one of the areas that's particularly good for forming cirrus type of particles, these ice crystals, actually coincides with the air traffic corridors, particularly the one linking North America with Europe. That's a particular area that's good for crystal formation and crystal growth.